I'm very happy to be back in the Chicago Yatra at the very beautiful lotus feet of Kishore Kishore and Jagannath, Subhadra Baladev, and the beautiful Gorni Thai. We travel every year throughout this great country of America visiting our different temples. And there's a few temples. Well, we look forward to going to all of them, but there's a few temples that we really relish going to. And one of them is the Chicago Temple, because of your very beautiful deities, number one. And number two, this is a great kirtan hall. And I really, really appreciate that you've got a good sound system here. It's really rare. It's a great sound system. You've got a really good harmonium. And you're a great bunch of devotees, so it's a dynamic combination, so thank you. This evening we've chosen a verse from the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 2, entitled Divinity and Divine Service. And I guess we'll do number 20. Evam prashanam hanasho bhagavad bhakti yogataha bhagavad tatva vigyanam mukta sangasya jayate. Translation. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.3, it is said that out of many thousands of ordinary men, one fortunate man endeavors for perfection. Mostly men are conducted by the modes of passion and ignorance, and thus they are engaged always in lust, desire, hankerings, ignorance, and sleep. Out of many such man-like animals, there's actually a man who knows the responsibility of human life and thus tries to make life perfect by following the prescribed duties. And out of many thousands of such persons who have thus attained success in human life, one may know scientifically about the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. In the same Bhagavad Gita, 1855, it is said that scientific knowledge of Krishna is understood only by the process of devotional service. The very same thing is confirmed herein in the above words. No ordinary man, or even one who has attained success in human life, can know scientifically or perfectly the personality of Godhead. Perfection of life is attained when one can understand that he is not a product of matter, but is in fact spirit. And as soon as one understands that he has nothing to do with matter, he at once ceases his material hankerings and becomes enlivened as a spiritual being. This attainment of success is possible when one is above the modes of passion and ignorance, or in other words, when one actually becomes a brahmana by qualification. A brahman is the symbol of sattva-gun, or the mode of goodness, and others who are not in the mode of goodness are either Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, or Sudras, or less than Sudras. The brahminical stage is the highest stage of human life because of its good qualities. So one cannot be a devotee unless one at least qualifies as a Brahmin. The devotee is already a Brahmin by action, but that is not the end of it. As referred to above, such a Brahmin has to become a Vaishnava, in fact, to be actually on the transcendental stage. A pure Vaishnava is a liberated soul and is transcendental even to the position of a Brahmana. In the material stage, even a brahmana is also a conditioned soul, because although in the brahminical stage the conception of Brahman or transcendence is realized, scientific knowledge of God is lacking. One has to surpass the brahminical stage and reach the Vasudeva stage to understand the personality of Godhead. So in this very famous and often quoted verse of this Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, the king of all Shastra scripture, we gain insight how to make tangible progress in Krishna consciousness and spiritual life. At the present moment, it goes without saying, although we do have to say it because people are so bewildered, we are entangled in material existence. We're covered by the modes of nature. We're covered by ignorance, we're covered by passion, we're covered by goodness. These coverings pervade any and all of our activities. And this is especially true in Kali Yuga. We're really covered. Shastra predicted this. Kalo Sutra Sambhavan. That anyone and everyone who's born in Kali Yuga is a Sudra, by definition. Meaning that, well, for the most part, 99.999% of the population is covered specifically by the mode of ignorance. And when you're in ignorance, it's not possible to understand truth. We have to go from the stage of ignorance through the mode of passion to the mode of goodness. We have to act in the mode of goodness. Act according to Shastras. All our activities have to change, and we have to perform activities in the mode of goodness under the direction of the spiritual master. Because what is the nature of goodness? Tatra sattvam nirmalatvat prakashakam anamayam shuka shangena bhadnati jnana sangena janaga. Krishna says to Arjuna, O sinless one, the mode of goodness, being purer than the others, than passion or ignorance, is illuminating. It frees one from all sinful reactions. Those situated in that mode sometimes become conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge. But the idea is that when we come to the mode of goodness, we begin to see things as they actually are. It's for that reason that when Śrīla Prabhupāda came to this great country of America, he wanted to establish a brahminical order of men and women to teach people the process of self-realization. Physician, heal thyself. If you want to cure somebody, first you have to go to school and learn how to be a doctor, not a quack. It's an old English word, quack. Not quack, quack, quack like a duck, but quack means that someone who's not qualified, who's practicing some particularly medicine, and he puts a sign in the door and, you know, puts his medical clothes on, and people come and he doesn't know what he's doing, but he's getting money. This is quack. So Śrīla Prabhupāda, when he came to the West, he wanted to establish Brahmins, qualified Brahmins. Just like to be a doctor, you have to go to school, get your graduate, practice, and you can open up your own clinic like that. Because to preach effectively, you have to be qualified. But interestingly enough, and to the amazement of many, Prabhupada wanted to make the Westerners into qualified brahmanas. He wanted to elevate them from ignorance through passion to the mode of goodness. This was a great challenge, because when Prabhupada was coming to the West, he commented one time in Detroit. He said, I was coming to your country and I was thinking that I would introduce these regulative principles to the American people. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. Can we keep the children quiet? And when I introduced these principles, people would say, Swamiji, you should go back to India with your philosophy and your regulative principles. Nobody's interested in following this. He was thinking like that because he heard all about America. And how happy he was when a a segment of the population called hippies, who were the most degraded. They were, with no shame, they were breaking all the regulative principles, and they were proud of it. They were waving a banner, free sex, free intoxication, gamble your life away, speculate. Somehow or other, by the mercy, the causeless mercy of the pure devotee, those hippies became, as Prabhupada said, happies. Happy in the transcendental sense, Krishna conscious sense. So when this news reached home, it was Prabhupada's home. Prabhupada said, Bombay is my office, Vrindavan is my place of worship, and Mayapur is my home. Prabhupada was born in Calcutta, and that whole region he considered his home, but not necessarily from a material point of view, but it's an eternal dham. And a devotee doesn't identify with any place in this world. We're strangers in a strange land. We're fish out of water. You don't identify with anything in this world. We identify with home. Home is where the heart is. And our real heart is not in this nasty world. Dukkalayam ashashvatam. This place of temporary place full of misery. Who wants to make their home in a prison? Who wants to make their home in the middle of a holocaust? Narottam says like that. Here I am in the middle of a holocaust trying to enjoy myself. So real home is where the heart, and the heart really, the nature of the heart is to love. And the supreme lovable object, person, is Krishna. Because Krishna can perfectly reciprocate the loving sentiments of every living entity. You can love your friend, you can love mom and dad, neighbors, you can love your country. You can't love everyone. God's the supreme lover because he's perfectly capable of satisfying everyone's desire to love. This is God. So therefore our love should be reposed in God. Even the best loving relationship in this world is terminated by death. That's painful. As much as you become attached to anything in this world, you will feel grief. You will feel equal grief. Because when you lose it, the pain of separation will be equal to the joy of attachment. So you have to be a little careful in this world. We have to repose our love in God. So when this news reached India that Swamiji, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, was initiating Westerners, giving them mantra, and giving them second initiation, Gayatri Mantra. There was like a mini revolution. Because as you know, there's a class of men in India who say that only those who are born into a Brahmin family can become Brahmanas. That's what they say. Is that what God says? A brahmana is God's representative on this earth. By feeding a brahman, according to our tradition, you feed God, because he's God's representative. God's very far away, so you feed his representative, and God is very happy. Like the ambassador from France, he comes to Washington. If you treat him nicely, the French are happy with you. If you mistreat the ambassador, the French are very unhappy with America. So the saint, the sadhu, the rishi, the guru, they're God's representatives, the brahmanas. And if you please them, God is very... He loves the brahmanas. Namo brahmanya devaya, go brahmanya hitaya cha, jagat hitaya krishnaya, govindaya, namo namaha. He loves the brahmanas because the brahmanas are continuing the same message that God started 5,000 years ago. He came and spoke Bhagavad Gita, and now he's long gone. But there's brahmanas who continue the mission. They're repeating and setting the nice example so people can follow. So he loves them. If you start a business, right, and you get old and your son takes over,
how you're very proud of your son.
You see in India, quite often you see the signs. Agarwal and sons. Gupta and sons. Mr. Singh and sons. Mr. Day. I can't cover the whole country, sorry. I even met one boy he was 19 or 20. He just married. And he was starting a business. Just married, maybe 2 or 3 months. And I saw him put the sign up. Mr. Day and Sons. I said, where are the sons? He said, just now coming. So how pleased God is when one takes up his work. Well, that's the Brahmanas. But Krishna never says that a Brahmana is necessarily a Brahmana by birth. Generally, the Brahmins think they're the only ones qualified to approach the Paramgati, the supreme goal. Others have to wait a few births. Mamhi partha vipastrikya yepeshu papayonaya. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter of me, though they be of lower birth, women, merchants, workers, that includes everybody in this room, by the way, can approach the supreme destination. Certainly one who's born in a Brahmin family, he's got a good chance. Just like if you're, you're born into a family of physicians. You know, the whole, you're just around your dad, you know, and you see the surgical instruments, and he's studying the books, and, you know, he's talking about the cases, and sometimes he lets you come and watch the operation. Yeah, there's an advantage. In fact, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that one who's unsuccessful in the path of yoga, who's not achieved perfection, then Krishna says, I place him in a family of wealthy merchants, so he doesn't have to struggle. Just like there's many wealthy men here. How can it be otherwise? This temple is looking very nice. There's some wealthy men here. And your children are not, you know, struggling with disease and lack of education and they get the basic things in life and more. So they have the luxury of coming to this temple. A lot of people in this world go to bed hungry every night. They're sick and diseased, so difficult to practice spiritual life. So to be born in a wealthy Vaishya family, it's an advantage. Prabhupada said, if you've got time, chant Hare Krishna. What to speak if you're, you know, born in a Brahmana family, just like the physician's son has an advantage, the Brahmana's son has an advantage. From the very birth, he's coming out of the womb. What's he hearing? Om Tat Sat. Right? He's coming out of the womb. He's hearing transcendental sound vibration. Now you come out of the womb. Oh, coochie, coochie, goody little baby, take this sucker. You're going to be a strong man, rich man like me, happy, successful, lusty. To be born in a Brahmin family is a very great advantage. And therefore, those of you who are Brahmana Vaishnavas, you have a great responsibility to train your children in Krishna consciousness and not allow them to watch television. What is television? Television is just, it's like the one-eyed guru of Kali Yuga. In Vedic culture, it's not inauspicious to look at a one-eyed man. That's just there in the Shastra. Here's the one-eyed guru spouting so much of Kali's evil philosophy. Even in the cartoons, there's sex and there's power and there's politics and intrigue. And we wonder why our little children grow up and when they become teenagers, they go off the path of spiritual life. It's our fault to be very strict, to protect them. They've taken birth. Let it be the last birth. But that responsibility lies with the parents in being very strict. So, it's an advantage, but that's not to say that those who are of a lower birth can't elevate themselves from ignorance to passion to goodness. Just like if your dad's a carpenter, right? And you say, he says, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a doctor. Okay, he works really hard, takes a second job, like that. He puts you through school. You study hard. You're also a doctor. Actually, becoming a Brahmin is more about good training. Jita kancha natam yati kamsham rasa vidanataha. Tata diksha videnena dvijatam jayate nunyam. Beautiful verse. As bell metal is turned into gold when mixed with mercury in a chemical process, so one who is properly trained and initiated by a bona fide spiritual master immediately becomes a brahmana. Plutarch, he was a famous philosopher, he said, character is simply habit long practiced. We are what we are now because we've been doing all those kind of things before, and now we are. So if you turn over a new leaf and you take training in the Krishna conscious movement and you get diksha from a bona fide spiritual master, then there'll be a change of heart, a change in your qualities. Practice makes perfect. So even if one's born in the lowest, a dog eater, he can become a brahmana if he manifests the quality. Have to have the qualities like cleanliness, truthfulness, mercy, austerity. Once there was a young boy, and he came to take instruction from a guru. So the guru said, "Are you Sudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, or Brahmin?" And the boy said, "I don't know." So I only train Brahmanas. So are you Brahmana? I don't know. Well, go ask your mother. So he went home and asked his mother. He said, "Mommy, am I a Brahmana?" And mother said, "Well, you know, you've never seen your daddy, have you?" "No." "Well, you know, I wasn't such a good girl, and I don't know who your daddy is." Meaning she may have had relationships with someone. So the boy came back and he said, "Mommy said she doesn't know who my daddy is, so I don't know." So the teacher said, "You're a Brahmana." "Oh, I am?" "Yes, because you tell the truth." Brahmana by quality, if you have cleanliness, if you have truthfulness, if you have mercy, if you have austerity. It's not the sacred thread that you bought in the store, it's the qualities that matter. So anyone can be purified. Not to accept that means not to accept the all-merciful, powerful nature of God. Just like one time, Prabhupada came back to India from America with his first disciples, and there was more criticism. You know, one of his godbrothers said, "You have given this Maha Mantra to these sutras? To these hippies? These dirty people you have given? It's not going to work on them. They're too fallen. They have too many sinful reactions in their hearts." So Prabhupada is so smart. Tesham satada yuktanam bhajatam patipuravikam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. Krishna says, to those who serve me with love, I give the intelligence by which they can come to me. So Krishna gave Prabhupada the perfect one-liner. He said to his godbrother, "What is more powerful? Millions of sinful reactions accumulated after lifetimes of impious activity, or one holy name of God? What's more powerful? Is sin more powerful than God?" No. So his godbrother had to say, "Well, the holy name of God is more powerful than sin." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, that's the point. I have given my disciples the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama." And what happened to the sin? Cheto dharpana marjana. Just like I was traveling today from, where was I? I always forget. Huh? San Jose, I'm in so many places, I don't remember. San Jose, a long flight, check-in, security, sweating, and blah, blah. And then I came and I took a shower, and all the dirt went down the drain. Just the soap. So the heart is dirty, full of sin reactions, full of sinful desires. Should I swallow the soap? No. As you cleanse the body with soap, you cleanse the heart with the pure name of God. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But you have to, you do it through a process. Like Gandhi, he also wanted to elevate people. He took pity on the poor classes of India. He said, why can't they go in the temple and dress the deities? They're also Harijan. He gave them the name Harijan, which means children of God. They're also, you're a child of God. The street sweeper is also children of God. So I give them the name Harijan. They have the right to enter the temples and do the puja. But instead of recommending a process for purification, he just changed the name. It's not by changing the name that a person becomes elevated. Prabhupada said, you can put a dog on the throne and call him king. But if you throw a bone in front of the throne, the dog will jump down and eat it. So changing names not enough. Yas yasti bhaktir bhavati akinchana sevayar gunas tatta shamashate shura. One who attains pure unalloyed devotional service to the Lord develops all the good qualities of the demigods. Even a low-born person can become a Brahmana. One time, Prabhupada told the story, there was a plague in Calcutta, and it was so bad, the rats, you know, carrying the plague, they were running everywhere, and people were getting infected and dying like flies. So the municipality, they said, okay, anyone who brings in a dead rat gets 5 paisa. So there was this little boy, and he was born in an untouchable family, outcast, even lower than Sudra, because Sudras do follow some rules and regulations. This was like Yavana, like Malecha, like Rakshasa. No, not Rakshasa, they're Mayas. Outside the realm of Vedic culture. Dirty, filthy, uneducated, bad habits, like nothing, wasting time. So he heard, oh, if I bring in a dead rat, I get 5 paisa. So he went and got a whole bunch of rats by the tails and he brought them in. Enough for 2 rupees. He brought the rats like a... And they gave him 2 rupees. But the boy had some little sukriti, something pious from the past. No one's all good and no one's all bad. Of course, devotees are all good. We hope. So this boy, he took the 2 rupees and he went to a certain part of town and he bought some cloth. Just some cloth. Then he went to another part of town and he sold the cloth for 4 rupees. Then he went back to the first part of town and he bought that then for 4 rupees. Then he went and he sold it for 8 rupees. So like back and forth. I know you're hungry, so to make a long story short, what happened is that through the years, well, I'll tell you the end result. He became one of the most wealthiest men in India. It's a true story. He invested in silk and fine linen, and he had a huge emporium of sari shops all over India. He became fabulously wealthy. So here's this is the point I'm making, is he was nobody, but with a little good fortune, he became one of the wealthiest men. So in the same way, one can be low-born and unqualified, but if there's, again, proper training and initiation, he can become a devotee of the Lord. And Prabhupada said, therefore, a Vaishnava is naturally a Brahmana, because to be a Vaishnava, you have to at least be in the mode of goodness. But actually, Brahmanas Vaishnavas are more elevated than Brahmanas, because Brahmanas are in the mode of goodness, and Prabhupada, in the verse we quoted earlier, Krishna says there can be a little sense of conditioning. Everything's okay. You're living the right life. The best way to live in this world, people looking for the best lifestyle, right? The best life, the most intelligent lifestyle is the life of a Brahmana. Simple living, high thinking. Make it easy. But you get a sense of conditioning. Everything's okay. I'm vegetarian. I'm clean. I have my neat little house, not causing any problems. I'm reading philosophy. Tika acha. Everything okay. Hey, wait a minute. Day by day, you're growing older. You're going to get disease. You're going to die. Better than the mode of goodness, which creates a sense of kind of well-being, like I'm okay, you're okay. Better than that is to go into transcendence, to go into the mood of sudha-sattva, pure goodness. When you act as a devotee, following the process, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, shmaranam, padasevanam, archanam, bandham, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. When you're doing all the things we do, like hearing and chanting and worshipping the deity and taking prasadam and associating with devotees, what happens is you rise above even the mode of goodness and you come to this spiritual platform. Even in this world, you live in the spiritual sky. This is the trick of Krishna consciousness. You're a little bit above it. Like Jesus said, to be in this world, but not of this world. Like a lotus flower, that the stem of the lotus flower goes deep into the water, into the mud. But the flower itself is a little bit above the water. You've seen the lotus flower? It's always a little bit above like that. It's in the pond, but it's not in the pond. So if you chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, you'll be in this world, but not of this world. You'll be here doing your service for Guru and Gauranga, but you won't be affected by the mode of ignorance, you won't be affected by the mode of passion, you won't be affected by the mode. You'll have the very best lifestyle. Again, people are looking for the best lifestyle, always trying to adjust things, the best lifestyle, especially here in America. We have the very best lifestyle in Krishna consciousness. Better than even the Brahmanas. We're meant to be transcendental. That we don't want to be guilty of, you know, being in our comfort zone either. Although we have the very best. We have the best association. Just look at the person sitting next to you. Take a look at the person sitting next to you. Yeah. You couldn't ask for more than that, could you? We have the best association. We have the best food. Again, I'm mentioning food. We have the best philosophy. We have the best music. The music scene's always changing, right? Hip hop, rap, heavy metal. Excuse me for sounding so dull and stupid. I don't know what's out there now, but I hear it sometimes in the airports, you know. We got the best song. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. You have a favorite song out there, and you know, there's some good songs. Okay, relatively, there's some good musicians out there, some good ones. Even some, you know, words trying to help, whatever. But our song, you never get tired of it. You take your favorite song. Some of you gentlemen have been married for some years now. You know, you talk about, they're playing our song. When you first met your childhood sweetheart. That was our song. Here comes the sun. Da-na-na-na. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's all right. Oh. Remember we went to the Fillmore East together and you proposed to me during the light show? But how long can you sing this song? And it becomes hackneyed, is probably another old English word, hackneyed. No one uses that word, but hackneyed. Oh, that's like really a good word. But this song, the more you sing it, the more addicted you become to it. The more it purifies the heart, the more the knowledge, the realizations are coming, and your joy knows no bounds. Ananda Buddhi Bharavanam. Your happiness is increasing and increasing and increasing. I remember my father told me one time we were out camping and he took a flashlight, he turned on and the beam of light went into the dark sky. My father was a little scientific. He said, "You know, son, this beam of light will travel forever. Unless some object comes and it will bounce off and go, but we are lighting this light. It's going to go on and on and on and on. This universe is very," I was like, wow. And sometimes years later, I go on and I wonder, where is that beam of light now? So that's an analogy, but Krishna consciousness is like that. It only gets better. The karmis say, trust no future, however bright. Yes, we agree. But if you're a devotee on the path of Krishna consciousness, it's only get better and better and better, as we've been experiencing, all of us, especially through chanting Hare Krishna. We have the best song. We live in the best places. We have the best holy dhams. We have everything the best. So, but there can always be that kind of sense of comfort also. Oh, it's so nice. The Brahmins, although they are very elevated, they had that heavy responsibility to share their wisdom with others. Prabhupada said the duty of a first-class man is to make a fifth-class man also first-class man. So as devotees, although we have the very, 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 very best, we also have that responsibility to share. As Jesus said, because it was just Easter and I was kind of in the mood, Prabhupada said, he's also our spiritual master. Jesus said, it's better to give than it is to receive. And the reason the Brahminical community became corrupt, because we have to say, a lot of them, not all of them, we don't want to make offenses, but the Brahminical community became corrupt and Vedic culture fell apart as a result of no good leadership, is because they became a little proud and they didn't, you know, think or want to make people as qualified as themselves. So we have this heavy responsibility that we have this wonderful lifestyle, but we have to share it with others. That means we have to preach. All of you have to, according to your, each according to his own ability. I'm always preaching, for what it's worth. I'm always, but maybe you're a housewife and you have some children, you can't go out, but our leaders have devised so many programs, you know, Namahata programs and festivals you can come to and book distribution, and you can cook pastries and set up a table and sell you know, cinnamon rolls offered to Krishna. Something. Many hands make small work. If everyone goes out and does a little something, then that will... And Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is blissful when it's expanding. So, yes, we can all become elevated, but our duty is to elevate others. And then Krishna consciousness is always fresh. Prabhupada said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, those who have life, they will preach. So it looks like you're doing a pretty good job here. I first came to Chicago in 1971 to distribute books here. And I know why they call it the Windy City. Boy, was it hard to stand on the street and the howling wind. Please, sir. Whoa, sir, excuse me. And we had one little temple. I don't know where it was, but there was, you know, three or four of us. I was a grihastha at the time, and there were a few brahmacharis, you know. And I was thinking, you know, I got to get out of this place. Nothing happening here. I want to go back to Detroit. We had a big temple there and deities, you know. And then I had the opportunity to go to Europe and, you know, I never imagined Chicago would look so wonderful. All of you have come. So please keep becoming elevated by strictly following and coming out of ignorance and passion to goodness and to sutta-sattva, and always share your good fortune with others. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki.